pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. 6 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. We do thank you very much for listening. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on the text line. Want to respond to anything we are discussing this morning. Still to come in about a half hour from now, Burt Jones running for lieutenant governor in Georgia. He'll join us. We'll talk about the lay of the land in Georgia and get a sense of what's going on over there. Obviously, two Democrat U.S. senators went for Biden in this last election. And Republicans are looking to make a comeback in this midterm, but we'll hear from him, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest, very kind to this program, Congressman Barry Moore, the 2nd Congressional District, on the line with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. I am doing fine. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thank you for making time. I do appreciate it, and so do our listeners. Let's get right into what's going on now. This reconciliation package. It looks like the Pelosi's gearing up to make another charge at it. What's the latest on that?
Well, you know, I think you're exactly right. They're gearing up to make a charge. They attempted this a number of times to try to get, you know, originally they had the infrastructure. Pelosi, I think, had to cut a deal with the progressives in her party to link the two together. I mean, in order to get the infrastructure passed, she had to agree to go down this reconciliation road, which was is a disaster for the American economy. Infrastructure wasn't really 100% about infrastructure. Only about 10% of that actually is infrastructure. But this reconciliation package is a disaster for business and increases taxes, regulations. It's basically the Green New Deal on steroids. It's Bernie Sanders' budget. And so it's something we're going to have to continue to fight. We'll do our part in the minority party in the Senate, I mean in the House. But do we have to hope that the Manchin and those hold the line in the Senate?
Well, and that's really where it's going to be, I guess, is we're holding out hope on the Senate, right?
I mean, that's exactly right, and it's unfortunate, but it's a numbers game here, and the Republicans just don't have the majority to stop it. What's surprising to me, Jeff, in all this is you see Biden's numbers. I mean, you see his polling numbers, and you see the issues the Democrat Party are facing. And then you see Virginia just a couple of weeks ago just turn red, basically. And it's stunning to me that the Pelosi will lead her group and her party off a cliff and allow this to go down as their polling numbers are crashing and burning. The American people see what's going on. They see what's going on with inflation. As we print money, which is paper with ink, basically, the government, as we print money and continue this deficit spending, it lowers the buying power of the dollar. It weakens the American dollar. The middle class are seeing this at the gas pumps. They're seeing this at the grocery store. You couple that with a horrible energy policy on Joe Biden's part, and it just puts a burden on the American people. I mean, it consistently shows that the leadership of the Democratic Party are Americans last, everybody else first, and it's all about power. And so it's going to, you know, it amazes me if the Democrats continue down this path, they not only will they lose the majority in the midterms, it will be a historical loss, I think, in many ways for the party. But we'll see if they follow Pelosi and Schumer and Biden and Bernie down this path.
Well, that seems to be what they're doing. They have reconciled, or they have decided, come to terms with the idea that they are going to lose. They're going to lose big in 22. So let's, you know, I guess the danger is with nothing to lose, let's go for the gusto while we got the power. And that's just the way it seems to me, with no consequences.
It does, but for Pelosi to sacrifice the Democrat Party, the members of Congress, she's going to retire. That's the rumor out here. She's going away. But to sacrifice their careers on this vote to take us off the path where they have no chance of recovering a victory in their own districts, especially in those districts that Trump may have lost by, you know, a few points, or he might have even won maybe by a point or two. I mean, we saw a 15, 16-point swing in the midterms out in Virginia and New Jersey. You kind of see she's going to knock off the tier of vulnerable candidates, and then the second tier of candidates who were probably in a plus 10 district, you know, they were pretty safe. She's taking them off the cliff with her, and I can't imagine them voting for this. And it just puts the American people last. It hurts the middle class. It hurts our country. It hurts business. it does everything to undermine what made this nation great in a lot of ways, and that's free markets and capitalism. And it's just, it's troubling to see it going on. I hope that the members of her own party will wake up and see that this is a dead end street.
Chrysler, let's talk about the other component of the Democrats' charge in this administration. This infrastructure bill signed into law by President Biden yesterday. A lot of social spending in it, a lot of things that are being deemed infrastructure that don't necessarily fit that definition, in my opinion. But does a second congressional district get anything positive from this?
Not anything of substance. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, we may get a little $1 million here or there, and to do a little landscape or something. But the biggest thing that this is, again, this payoff for Democrat districts, where you see a lot of, they want to install these green charging stations and public transportation expenditures that are in big cities. They don't help rural Americans. They don't help our district at all. It does very little of what you and I think of as infrastructure for the state, for the district, and mostly for the country. I mean, when you and I think infrastructure, we think, deep water, harbors and rail and roads and bridges, the things that actually, if you invest properly, you can get a return on that investment. You can create jobs and grow an economy. What we're spending money on here is social programs. It's social engineering. It has little to do with real markets and supply and demand. It's more about government programs. And you'll see, it's quite like Solyndra. I mean, we saw what happened under the Biden administration. They dumped $500 million in that program, and it went bankrupt. And that's kind of what we have here. This is not free market driven. This is government driven. Those always fail. They don't work very well. And the technology is not there for what we're trying to do. And basically, Biden, he's coupling this with his energy policy. Joe Biden's energy policy will shut down the Keystone Pipeline, ask Russia to produce or allow Russia a green light on production of their pipeline. And then you beg OPEC to increase their production while you buy solar panels from China. That's Biden's energy policy. And it's part of this Bernie Sanders Green Deal on steroids, like I said. And so it's not good for the American people. It's not good energy policy. It's not good infrastructure policy. It does very little to grow the economy.
Well, let's talk about the fallout from these policies, and I think we could see it when we go to the grocery store, when we go to the gas pump, when we see this devaluing of the dollar. It's causing inflation, it's putting pressure on prices, and, there's not necessarily the wages aren't necessarily going up as well, so it's putting a lot of American people in a bad place. But I think, obviously there's some things that are going on with energy policy that's lead to higher gas prices. But clearly with oil pegged to the dollar, we're seeing inflation, particularly at the gas pump. And we're certainly seeing the commodity prices. Your district's very, an agriculture district. I bet they're seeing it there, too, in the marketplace. But it is having a very, very massive impact on the American economy.
Absolutely. It's like I said, we're printing paper with ink, but we have to expect the American people who are working and contributing to that process to pay that bill. And that's the issue is, as we print, their dollars buy less because there's more in circulation. It's kind of the velocity of the dollar that's out there and it's circulating and we're printing more and more. And unfortunately, the 1.9 trillion, we spent more on COVID, than we did on World War II. That 1.9 trillion that we spent at the beginning of the year, some of that money hasn't even been spent by the state and local governments because of the strings attached from the federal government. We printed all that. Now we're doubling down. We're printing more money here. And it's like whether you're Democrat or Republican, right now you are not enjoying your life in this country. You're not enjoying what you're seeing. You're not enjoying. Nobody's having fun. And it's because grocery prices are going up. Gasoline's going up. Everything we do is getting more and more expensive. Meanwhile, the labor market, where there's a vacuum there for people to work, and we're sending money to mailboxes instead of letting people work tax-free. All of that combined with terrible energy policy, terrible economic policy, and terrible border policy are creating one crisis after another in this country.
I mean, isn't that the lesson private enterprise is having to keep having to compete with the federal government and all of these benefits being handed out in the name of COVID? It is also this, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Once we start doling out these benefits, is it going to be difficult to roll some of this government assistance back? What's that going to look like? What's that going to do to the American economy?
Yeah, That's the $20 million question. And Republicans, and it's certainly my concern for our leadership going forward. And, you know, we always, when we manage to gain control sometime and try we get a majority in the House and in the Senate and even in the White House sometimes, we do not move conservative ideas forward. We tend to spin like we're Democrats sometime, and we tend to really don't act like conservatives. And we have to be leaders. We have to take the ball and move it back to midcourt. They have backed it so deep into our own territory. We have got to figure out a way when we get control to pull back on some of this. I mean, we control the purse strings. So it's my hope that in the House that we can start limiting the spending, start really leading like conservatives. That's what the American people expect. We need to try to run our budget more like we do our houses and our talking about our homes rather than what we do here in D.C. in this bubble where it's just, you know, and I say this all the time, Jeff, we really need statesmen. We don't need people looking for the next reelection. My concern is that we get a lot of people here in D.C. that want to bring home the bacon to their district. But it's so much bigger picture than just your district. And I know I have to fight for the veterans and agriculture in my district, and I represent them, and I do what I can. But at the end of the day, the solvency of this nation and the border crisis and inflation, those things that can hurt all Americans, not just your district, but all districts, we have to start leading like statesmen. We have to start doing what's better for the country than just one local demographic. And I think that's important. I think we need to have leaders in D.C. that are willing to fight. And I think, honestly, most American people would appreciate a person who would say, you know what, I represent you, but this is for the good of the nation. We have to get the spending under control. We have to do what's best for the next three or four generations, not just the next reelection.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore, the 2nd Congressional District here on the program. Congressman, wind it down on this vaccine mandate. Very, very controversial thing here, as you are certainly aware of here in Alabama. And they've done some things to try to push back against this at the state level. I understand you guys in Washington are in a minority, so it's not going. You're not going to be able to take an act of Congress here to do anything until you get control of Congress. But let's talk about that. We see what's happened there. When Republicans do get in charge, do we need to look at changing some of these enabling laws that allow a sitting president to mandate a vaccine?
Yeah, Jeff, not only just the sitting president, but these regulatory agencies that politicians in the past have given too much power to, whether it's OSHA or the EPA or whoever the case may be, because politicians didn't want to make tough choices, so they create these bureaucrats and these bureaucracies, what we now call the swamp. And they are unilaterally changing Americans' lives without the legislative process, where the voter does not have a say anymore, because this is going through OSHA, or this is going through the executive branch, which we do have say in. We have to limit government's power and bureaucrats' power and give it back to the individual states and individual Americans. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, I think the vaccine mandate was just a way for the Biden administration to take the pressure off of Afghanistan. But the unintended consequences are going to be traumatic for the economy, obviously for working people. At the same time, we allow millions to pour across the southern border, unvaccinated, unvetted, while we're requiring these Americans, working Americans, blue-collar Americans, everyday Americans, to get a vaccine to maintain an income. We basically went from 2 weeks to flatten the curve to getting a jab to keep your job. And that we have to, when we get the majority, cut back not only on the executive branch power, but also these agencies, because they are the true cancer. They are the swamp in D.C. They are running the government without any accountability.
I mean, isn't that the big discussion about the deep state, the administrative state, that this is another one of those examples of where unelected bureaucrats are really playing a big role in the lives of everyday Americans.
And with no accountability, it's like they know that I'm here for 2 years. They know that the president's here for 4 years. I think one of the biggest mistakes Trump made was not cleaning across the top, and just cleaning the top management out in these agencies, going down and finding some people who are truly, really there, public servants to serve the American people, rather than these bureaucrats who want to wait out all the elected officials and know that, oh, there's another class coming in, but we'll just wait them out too, and we'll continue to produce policy. And it has become a point that the swamp itself runs the country rather than the people of America. And that's why I say we need to clean house. And when we get in leadership, I hope we will look at that and go, okay, this bureaucracy, it's time that we reduce their power. And it's going to take some time. We didn't get like this overnight. It's going to take some time, but I think there's an opportunity for us to lead as Republicans when we get the majority and begin to drain the swamp, literally drain the swamp.
Congressman, we got to leave it there, but you've been very kind to make time for us and our listening audience. Hopefully we can talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Congressman Barry Moore on with us. We got to get a break in here. We will be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Too much, baby.